Hello, everyone. Do you have a favourite book of the Bible? Do you love a good story? Well, a very good book to read is Exodus. And if you can read it in one or two sittings, you will find it absolutely riveting. The chief character is Moses, and it's all about his life from his birth to his death, and pretty much everything else that happened in between. What do you know about Moses? I guess you will probably say, oh, he was a baby boy rescued from the Nile by a princess. He had a life of favour and wealth. He returned to his own people. He had 40 years in the desert, caring for his father-in-law's sheep. And at the age of 80, he was called by God for probably the most dramatic event that rescued 2 million people in all of history. Did Moses write any books of the Bible, you might ask? The first 5 books of the Bible are called the Pentateuch. This word comes from a combination of the Greek word penta, which means 5, and teukos, which can be translated scroll. We have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. These 5 books were written on scrolls, and scrolls showing these writings are still in use by the Jewish people today. They are referred to as the Law or the Torah and contain the historical background of creation, God's choosing of Abraham and the Jewish nation as his own people. They also contain the instructions and law given to Israel on Mount Sinai. Do you know how the timeline of Moses fits into human history? It is generally understood that the Exodus from Egypt took place in 1491 BC. Moses was called by God to lead that major event. We also know that Moses lived to be 120 years old, that he was 80 years old when God called him to take the Hebrew people to the Promised Land. And that journey took 40 years. Prior to that, Moses was a shepherd for his father-in-law Jethro for 40 years. So it's possible that Moses' first 40 years were spent in Egypt, most of them in Pharaoh's court. There are 2 more important references to the life of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, which he wrote. In chapter 5, verses 2 to 4, Moses says, "The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Sinai. It was not with our ancestors that he made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. At that time, I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up the mountain." Have you ever wondered what it would have been like to be there at that time? What effect did God speaking with the people face to face have on all of them? Moses records for us in the second reference in chapter 18, verse 16, what actually happened. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God on the day of the assembly when you said, 'Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die.' So the Lord said to me, 'What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put his word in their mouth. He will tell them everything I commanded him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. Moses goes on, you may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed. Moses is also mentioned many times in the New Testament, and not once is he criticized or denigrated, but he is clearly honored. Paul mentions Moses in his defense before Agrippa in Acts 26, and he makes reference to him many times in his other writings. Stephen's speech before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 7 includes a lengthy dialogue about the life of Moses. And Peter mentioned him in his famous sermon at Pentecost in Acts chapter 3. And in there, he refers directly back to the reference of Deuteronomy chapter 18. So, what is a prophet? A prophet in the Old Testament was someone who was used by God to communicate his message to the world. Prophets were sometimes called seers because they could see spiritually as God gave them insight. Prophets can be divided into the writing prophets like Isaiah, Daniel, Amos, Haggai, Malachi, and many others. And there's also the non-writing prophets, such as Elisha, Elijah, Deborah, and several others. Prophets came from a variety of backgrounds. They spoke to different audiences. They possessed unique styles, and they used different methods. Most of the Old Testament prophet messages concerned the people of Israel. Most of them were men. But the Old Testament also mentions prophetesses such as Miriam, Deborah, and Huldah. All prophets shared some characteristics that made their ministries prophetic. But a prophet was required to deliver God's message accurately. The role of the Old Testament prophets was completed in the person of John the Baptist, who was predicted in Malachi chapter 4, and then in Jesus Christ, who too was a prophet, like Moses, predicted in Deuteronomy 18. I find it interesting that in speaking to Moses, God said that he was a prophet. But in future, there would be a greater prophet than he. Of course, he was referring to the Lord Jesus, a greater prophet. And God said, you must listen to him. So we find the prophets in the Old Testament were foretelling something, something that God had told them to say to the people of the day. That's an Old Testament prophet. But do you know any prophets from the New Testament? Surprisingly, there are many. Zechariah, father of John the Baptist. Mary, an engaged virgin. She was told by Gabriel that she would become pregnant with the Messiah. Her prophecy is found in Luke chapter 1. Elizabeth. While Mary was pregnant with Jesus, she visited her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist. When they met, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and proclaimed that Mary's child was the Messiah. Simeon was a righteous old man. He had been promised by God that he would see the Messiah before he died. And when Joseph and Mary came to the temple with the baby Jesus, Simeon knew immediately who he was, and he warned Mary that a sword would pierce her heart also. Anna was an elderly prophetess who spent her days worshipping at the temple. She too knew that the baby Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. And then we come to John the Baptist, of course. The Holy Spirit was mightily in John. He spent his life encouraging people to confess their sins, to turn to God, and to follow Jesus. Did you know that Peter is also a prophet? He foretells the events in the future that will happen in what he refers to as the day of the Lord. There are quite a few other prophets in the New Testament, but there's no doubt that the most famous of them all is the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation. That's filled with prophecies about times yet to come. And lastly, there are two more. Two witnesses that John tells us about in Revelation chapter 11. They will appear during the tribulation. They will perform signs and prophesy in Jerusalem for 1,260 days. They will be assassinated and then return to life. What a prophecy. Now, are there prophecies in the church today? Prophets in the Old Testament were foretelling the message of the Lord. Prophets today are forthtelling the message as we find it in Scripture. Whenever a person claims to be speaking for God today, and that's the essence of prophecy, the key is to compare what is said with what the Bible says. If God were to speak to a person today, it needs to be 100% complete agreement with what God has already said in the Bible. God does not contradict himself. Otherwise, he would be a false prophet. But today is very different to the past. We have the complete revelation of God through Christ. And of course, the written word as well. Prophets today tell the message forth. They need to be seen to be telling it accurately. But getting back to Moses, let's now look at a very telling scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. Start reading at verse 23. We'll take it phrase by phrase to see what it means. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Moses' parents were Amram and Jochebed. They were from the Levitical tribe, who were the priests. And I guess like every parent, they felt that their baby Moses was no ordinary child. But he didn't turn out to be ordinary for sure. Moses' parents were not afraid. Afraid of what? And why not? The Hebrew people who had been enslaved by Pharaoh in Egypt for over 400 years increased, and they became even more numerous. So Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. But Moses' parents were not afraid. They wanted their little boy to grow up and be something special. That's why they entrusted him to become the baby in the basket, rescued by a princess. In Hebrews 24, we see that it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. Because he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going, because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. As it turned out, Moses spent many times with God. He became a highly educated man. He was probably the Pharaoh in waiting. But he gave all that up to take on a role with God's people. I wonder, was it bred in him? Was it something of who he was? And it transpired that he was a prophet, the forerunner of Jesus, in whose life God fulfilled all that a prophet was and so much more. As we said, Moses spent many hours with God, listening to him. 8 times God called Moses up the mountain to talk with him and to instruct him as to how the Israelites were to get to the promised land. They had been anticipating that for probably 500 years. But apart from what has been recorded for us in Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, I wonder what heart-to-heart conversations God and Moses had together. Further on, Moses' story shows that he developed a very close relationship with God. Being in the presence with God, often 40 days at a time, surely deepened that, until one time he came down the mountain, and because his face so shone with the glory of God, Moses had to cover himself with a veil. And did you know that that even happened when Moses met with God in the tabernacle where they all worshipped? His relationship with God caused Moses to trust God. Let's look at something very special about prophets in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 10 to 12. Peter has been talking about our great salvation through Christ, and he is referring to the long line of the prophets. See what Peter says. The reward for trusting Jesus will be the salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now, this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And the piece I really like. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Moses was looking ahead to his great reward, and he kept his eye on the one who is invisible. I'm sure you've heard the story of a long ago missionary couple returning home to retirement by sea. On the wharf there were lots of people, lots of bunting, bands shouting and cheering. And gradually, as they watched, they saw the king come down the gangway. "Uh-oh, so that's what this is all about," they said. But there was no one at all to welcome the missionary home. After all they had endured on the field, he was very disappointed, and later quite depressed to have no one meet him. So his wife suggested that he quietly go to his room and talk to God about it. A while later, the missionary came out of his room. his face glowing. "What happened?" his wife asked. "Oh, the Lord just reminded me, I'm not home yet." Peter says that the reward for trusting Jesus will be the salvation of our souls. Moses faced formidable odds, and Hebrews 11:26 clearly tells us that he was keeping his eye on God, no matter the circumstances. He was looking ahead to his great reward, which God had revealed to him ahead of time. What a man! Certainly no ordinary child. So now I have some questions for you to think about. What have you learned today from the life of Moses that you can put into practice in your daily living? How does your perspective of your eternal reward drive your thinking and doing while you are here on this earth? And what are you looking for in your future? May God bless us all as we walk with him daily, seeking to reveal Christ to the world.
God's promise is that when we draw near to him, he draws near to us. So why don't we open our hearts for him to do a new work in us in this place as we worship together.
Of heaven.